The gospel lesson is found on page 915 in your Bibles. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that we can come together as your people to worship you. We are here for that purpose this morning. We acknowledge your glory and your praiseworthiness, your steadfast love. All of those things which move us to worship are true. And so we come and sing your praises. Father, as we come this morning, we also seek to be encouraged in the midst of our lives, to be equipped to serve you throughout all of our lives. Father, do all of that work through this time we have with you this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I expect most of you have heard the news about former President George H.W. Bush passing away on this past Friday evening. It was interesting to listen to some of the reports on Saturday morning, how people described him. Even those from different political perspectives admired the man, speaking of how he devoted his life to serving his country and of his record of heroism and leadership. Those are the kinds of things that people have been saying about him. Others focused on his family life and being married to his high school sweetheart Barbara for over 73 years. In an interview with Diane Sawyer about 5 years ago, she asked how he had made it through all of the years filled with so many challenges and political ups and downs. One of the things he mentioned was how he and Barbara said their prayers together every night before going to bed. You may or may not know that Mr. Bush had been an Episcopalian throughout his life. He spoke of being afraid of dying when he was young, but how that had changed as he got older. Grounded in his faith in Christ, he knew that heaven would be his eternal home. The longtime statesman and 41st president of the United States had come to know and believe in his Savior King who has come and will come again. As we begin our Advent season, we find ourselves immersed in that double promise of the Messiah. The promise that he would come, which he did, and the promise that he will come again, which he will. The implications are very personal, even as we are conscious of the bigger ones. They involve each of us recognizing him for who he is, to be watchful and prepared to meet him, and to know the deeper understanding of our own identity when we come to know him. Today's first lesson is in a section of the book of Jeremiah that comes before the fall of Jerusalem and the exile of the people to Babylon. The prophet Jeremiah had warned those things were going to happen and soon, which did not go over well with the king and other leaders. I mean, it was such a downer message, and they wanted to portray things in a more upbeat fashion. Following numerous trials and conflicts, he personally encountered, precisely because he was being faithful to what the Lord had called him to do, Jeremiah was currently imprisoned. Here in our lesson, it is the Lord who made the earth who speaks to the imprisoned Jeremiah about great and mighty things which you do not know. Things involving the promises of the work God is going to accomplish in days yet to come, involving the end of the exile and the restoration of the nation and beyond. Work accomplishing things that are both cosmic and current, profound and personal, substantial and specific. We heard it read in verse 14. It's the Lord speaking, and he says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good word which I have spoken concerning the house of Israel and the house of Judah." As we listen, we hear the promise of God raising up a righteous king who will reign in the restored kingdom. It was a promise spoken of before many times, connected to the continuation of the Davidic dynasty. Verse 15, it explains, "In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth." Just as God had chosen and anointed David to be king, so there would be another even greater anointed one. That being the actual meaning of the Hebrew word Messiah and the Greek equivalent Christ. It means anointed one. The righteous branch of David, pointing to a descendant of David who would serve as the perfect king. That king, is explained here, will execute justice and righteousness in the land. Those characteristics of his reign matching the character of God. This promised king will personify those divine qualities. The initial purpose of his reign will be a rescue mission. Here in verse 16, "In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell in safety." They will be saved by this coming king and will live in security because of the king's presence with them. And because of the effectiveness of this king's reign, the people will be known by a new name, "The Lord is our righteousness." A description and an assurance of the unity between the king and the people, which will define their very identity. Imagine what such a promise would have meant to the people once they were in the midst of the 70-year exile in Babylon. The city of Jerusalem conquered, the walls torn down, the temple looted and destroyed, the people hauled off to be held captive in a foreign land. Their situation was beyond discouraging. It was downright depressing. When demanded by their captors to sing one of the infamous songs of Zion, they could only respond, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" It would have felt like a betrayal to pretend all was well. To hold fast to the promise of God to provide a righteous king would have been their only hope. For 70 years, marking an X on the wall for each day passed. I mean, do the math. That's 25,550 X's. Only by trusting in God's promise would they be able to persevere in faith, waiting for, looking for, eagerly anticipating the day their king would arrive. This promise of a righteous king has been fulfilled at two different levels. It has been fulfilled in a partial, preliminary way with Zerubbabel in the initial return from the Babylonian exile. Yes, Zerubbabel, who became king, was a descendant of David. But his reign was not even close in scope and or prosperity. The promise of the people returning and the nation being restored was fulfilled, but only so far. There's a greater fulfillment, however, with the coming of Jesus and his reign as God's Messiah, anointed one. In terms of genealogy, do you remember? Jesus is the descendant of David, repeatedly promised by God. As the hymn proclaims, "Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son." In terms of justice and righteousness, Jesus lived and taught the true meaning of those traits, as well as being the one who has sufficiently satisfied the justice of God through the offering of himself as the righteous atonement for our sin. In terms of his mission, Jesus came to be the Savior of the world, through the obedience of his suffering, death, and resurrection, providing eternal security for those who trust in him. In terms of identity, Jesus is the one with whom we are united by faith, to the extent of being clothed in his righteousness and known as children of God. Our being united to Christ, bringing us to realize the very same reality as we are reconciled with God. Referring to Jesus, the Apostle Paul put it this way, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Our identity is wrapped up in being united to our King Jesus. Those present at our 9:30 service last week heard that wonderful anthem sung by the choir. Do you all remember it? The title was "All to Us," knowing Jesus to be the precious cornerstone, sure foundation, faithful to the end, leads to the acknowledgement that he is all to us, prompting the prayerful refrain, "Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church. Let the righteousness of God be a holy flame that burns. Let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. We believe you're all to us." Because Jesus has come, we benefit from all that he provides as the righteous King. We are given clarity about how God intends for us to live. We are given assurance of forgiveness for when we fail. We are given security in knowing we are children of God, his own possession bought with a price. We are given his abiding presence to equip and empower us to live as his redeemed people. But that is not the end of the story. As we heard in our gospel lesson, this promised king who has come promises to come again. Jesus even spoke of signs which will precede and point to his coming again with power and great glory. The first time, he came in the humility and lowliness of a baby born among the livestock. The shepherd king coming to teach, care for, and lay down his life as the good shepherd to save his sheep. His second coming, however, will be different, as the triumphant king returning to gather his people. All the partial will be complete. All the cloudy will be clear. All that is broken will be set right. On the surface, it may sound like two different kings, but don't miss the connections. through his death and resurrection as the shepherd king, he conquered sin and death. Through coming again as the triumphant king, he will gather his sheep to bring them home. The king who has come will come again. In anticipation of that great and glorious day, he calls his followers to live with watchful eagerness and to live with faithful guardedness. The eagerness is associated with the full consummation of our redemption. Being watchful because we don't know when it will happen, but we want to be ready for it when it does. The guardedness is so that our hearts will not be weighted down as we watch, conscious of the fact that things such as dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life can and will weigh down our hearts. This life will have all kinds of ups and downs, globally and personally. As good as things get, we know that is just a shadow of what is ahead. As bad as things get, we know one day it will be better forever. And so we seek to remain faithful as we watch for the return of our King. Don't know if you noticed, for our Advent season, we have the Chrismon tree set up with the various symbols highlighting the many aspects of who Jesus is. One of those chrismons, one of those symbols, is a crown, pointing to that aspect of Jesus' identity, which has tremendous significance for us. We live as people who know the King who is the Messiah has come and promises to come again. The promise that he would come has been fulfilled. The promise that he will come again will be fulfilled. The encouragement for us is to live fulfilled lives as those who have been saved by and belong to the righteous King, King Jesus, the King of glory. Let that fill your heart and mind as you say your prayers before going to bed tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a God who keeps your word. When you make promises, it's not a matter of if it will happen, but when. And we are grateful that you are trustworthy. Let us cling to the promises, both those that have been fulfilled with Jesus' first coming, and be sustained by the promise that he will come again. Help us to live faithfully as we watch. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.